I'm here today to present to you a controversy that is the greatest medical controversy, certainly of the last 10 or 15 years, and probably of the 20th century. It's a controversy that has now brought in hundreds of top scientists, members of the National Academy of Sciences, Nobel Prize winners, top people at Yale and Harvard, the University of California, and all over the world. Some of the very top people in the areas of virology, epidemiology, molecular biology, those are the very fields involved at the forefront of AIDS research. So these are the top scientists in the world, very prestigious, very respectable people with top grants from top agencies, who now believe that we may have gotten it all wrong in our war on AIDS. We may have blamed AIDS on the wrong cause. That is to say that in 1984, when Dr. Robert Gallo of the National Institutes of Health of the United States federal government declared that AIDS was caused by the virus HIV, that he simply may have been dead wrong, and we've been barking up the wrong tree in trying to fight AIDS, treat it, prevent it, or deal with it in any way, shape, or form. And yet to this day, we've now spent some probably $40 billion just through the U.S. federal government alone. And this money has, of course, created a huge AIDS industry, an AIDS lobby, and a lot of scientists who are committed to this view, and it's very difficult to back out. And this is why this controversy, albeit is very big, has some very important people behind it. Nevertheless, you haven't been hearing about it on the front pages of the New York Times or on CBS or NBC or your nightly news or anything like that. Possibly you may have come across some articles on it or seen a couple of little things here and there, but basically it has not reached the public at large. And so what I'm going to do is tonight I'm going to be giving you a little background on this monumental controversy. And what that means is I'll be spending about certainly a good half of this talk to give you some background on the virus hunters and the fact that this AIDS epidemic is not only not the first time that scientists have blamed a disease on a virus falsely, naming the wrong virus, the wrong cause, but in fact, in the past, it has caused tremendous disaster, medical and social disaster. Lives have been lost, and it was done for many of the same reasons that we have misplaced the blame with the AIDS epidemic today. To understand the bias of medical scientists and researchers for infectious basis of disease, for germs as the cause of disease, you actually have to go back about 200 years to the days of scurvy. Now, I assume that most of you probably remember what scurvy is, at least from school. Scurvy is the vitamin C deficiency that leads to gum diseases and then eventually to other problems with skin and internal organs, soft tissues, finally nervous system, then dementia, and finally death when taken far enough. And of course, this disease developed, it's a vitamin C deficiency, so it developed, for example, among sailors who were sailing on the high seas and who had access to nothing but bacon, salted meats, and some other dried out food. So they wouldn't get their vitamin C intake. They would develop this disease. However, it was assumed starting at least in the early 1700s that scurvy was an infectious disease. Because you see, one sailor on a ship would come down with scurvy, and before you knew it, other sailors were coming down with scurvy. So he had spread the miasms or the evil spirits or the bad airs. In those days, they didn't have germs as the basis of infectious disease. But he was already spreading it to his fellow shipmates. Of course, they'd all been eating the same diet. That's why they would all start getting sick. But it was assumed to be infectious because the infectious basis of disease puts a lot of fear into people and can cause people to act very irrationally. So the story, as a matter of fact, the whole basis of it, I won't go into all the details. These were in the book that I wrote, but that there were some of the very famous leaders of the British Navy, and so of course declared openly that this is an infectious disease, and it was treated accordingly. They would attempt to deal with it by opening the windows on the ship and letting pure air in, or as in the ever famous story that actually led to the discovery of the cure for scurvy. One sailor, one time on a British ship returning home in about the mid-1700s, developed scurvy, began acting crazy. It became a very well-developed case of scurvy. The other sailors were, of course, terrified, so he was marooned on the nearest island on the way back to England. By the time he was on the island, he was crawling around on the beaches and eating shellfish and snails and grass, whatever happened to be around. But there was enough vitamin C in those elements, in those foods that he was eating, that he was able to recover from scurvy. And by the time the next ship came by, he was there waving at the shores, ready to be picked up. So, of course, he was quite a sensation upon returning to England. Dr. James Lind, Royal Surgeon or doctor for the British Navy, was fascinated by this case and decided that in this recovery lay the key to understanding the cause and cure of scurvy. He conducted 30 or 40 years worth of experiments playing around with the diets on British ships and eventually discovered that you could cure and prevent scurvy 100% of the time with some magical ingredient present primarily in, of course, in general in fresh fruits and vegetables or even fresh meats, but also in particular in citrus fruits. And so the British Navy, in response to Dr. Lind's absolutely breathtakingly clear scientific rational research, perhaps the dawning of the modern era in science, in response to this, required from that time forward that all sailors, certainly in the British Navy and I believe also in the Merchant Marine, were required to carry lemon and lime juices on board and thus became known as limeys. And that to this day is the reason we call British sailors limeys. So as to prevent scurvy. This discovery and this mandate from the British Admiralty came down in the 1790s. You would think the problem was solved at this point. And yet, nonetheless, all of the top medical and biological research scientists and medical doctors, physicians throughout Europe and throughout the world, including in England, all of them continue to maintain that scurvy was nevertheless an infectious disease. And in fact, Dr. Lind's published very public, very available research was simply swept out of the way and quickly forgotten.